My name's Chris McIntyre. I'm the head baseball coach at New Albany. I met Lee in 1994 when I first came to New Albany. Lee immediately introduced himself and made me feel welcome. Probably one of the greatest memories I have with Lee are the too numerous to count road trips to ball games and various other activities. Sometimes it would be just Lee and I, but most of the time it would be with a group of coaches or teachers. Just wonderful memories. Also had the opportunity to coach Lee's son, Josh, in baseball. So have just tremendous amount of respect for Lee and what he meant to not just New Albany, but to everyone he touched. We're going to miss Lee dearly.
Glad to be back with you this week after being out yesterday. We'll continue to remember Lee Kelly, who we lost a week ago yesterday on Memorial Day. And of course, he was such a big part of sports here at the Big X, but also the New Albany and Southern Indiana sports communities as well. And you'll continue to hear some different tributes to him from others that knew him very well, worked with him for years. And again, we send our thoughts and prayers to his family. Welcome into this Tuesday program. Obviously, a lot to get to. We'll talk some sports today. We'll talk some non-sports items, as you can probably imagine today. But glad to have you with us as we begin the Tuesday program. And speaking of non-sports, obviously, we've got a lot of stuff going on in our country right now with protests. Some have turned to riots. And of course, the coronavirus continues to be a big concern, not only for sports, but many different avenues and many different events in our country right now. But one other sidebar that I think has kind of been covered up with everything going on right now is it's primary election day in the state of Indiana. And I know a lot of times you think the primary election, you got to choose a party. Maybe there aren't a ton of contested races, but across the landscape today, there are some very important measures on some of the ballots in different communities, depending on where you live. If you're a resident of Floyd County, there's a school safety referendum that's on the ballot. Obviously, the fate of that referendum will be decided with the vote today. It doesn't carry over like other elections do to the general election in November. Then, of course, in certain places of Clark County, if you're in a West Clark, the school district, you'll be voting on whether to separate those schools and allow Silver Creek to become its own school corporation, allow Borden and Henryville to stay together and form a new school corporation, or if no, they will remain as one. That's a vote required from the people, the taxpayers, by the state of Indiana. And of course, you've got lots of judgeships, other countywide offices on the ballot this year, some very important offices. So I guess this is my weekly, or I shouldn't say weekly, but annual, a couple times a year reminder, make sure you get out and vote. Hopefully many of you voted by absentee because of the virus. But I saw this morning on my way in that there's social distancing going on, so you can feel reasonably safe, wear your mask, make sure you get in and vote to end today's primary elections. Again, it's primary election day across the state of Indiana. Glad to have you with us today. Plenty to get to, as was out Monday, and of course, coming out of the weekend, there's always plenty of news and notes to chat about. In segment one, let's take a look at the Honey Baked Ham show lineup for this Tuesday show. Segment one will begin here in just a few moments with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And we now know who Indiana's going to open the regular season against. We'll talk about that in the headlines, a little on Archie Miller, take a look around some college football. I don't want to say start dates, but at least for individual schools in the Big Ten, what does it look like for workouts and a return to campus? And so we'll chat about that in the headline segment today. Also, there's high school baseball and softball being played now, getting ready, I think, at least practices. Games start maybe the middle of this month in Iowa. And so we'll talk about that. That's kind of an anomaly right now. No high school sports have went on all spring across the country that I'm aware of, but they are getting back at it, at least with baseball and softball in the state of Iowa. And a sad note in our headlines today from Charlestown, as the Pirates lose a former great football player, very young man, Tyler Odle, over the weekend, and we'll talk about that as well. Later in the program, segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he's with us. That segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Lots of items to get to with Greg. We'll talk Archie Miller, we'll talk IU basketball, and we're just going to talk about what's been going on in Louisville, what's been going on in Indianapolis with some of the protests. Some have been very peaceful and very powerful. Others have got a little scary, to be quite honest, with riots and some negative things surrounding some of that. But it's a very concerning time, and I know Greg and I will get into some of that going on as well in our communities here, not just Louisville, right here. Even some protests over the weekend, very peaceful protests, and what it sounds like in Jeffersonville that were handled very well by all involved. And we'll just talk about what's going on in our country right now. Greg, obviously, is an interesting guest, a guy full of opinions, and just a fun guy to talk to, not just about sports. And today's one of those days, one of these times in our country where you don't just want to talk about sports. Obviously, a lot going on. So Greg Doyle coming up later in the program, presented by Coffee Crossing. And then later in the show, we'll go hardcore Indiana. We'll go some recruiting stuff with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. We may even touch on a little football as well. Speaking of what's going on in our country, obviously Indiana football lost a former player and just someone I didn't know, but seems like a really, really good person that was very well respected by media and others. And we'll talk some about that with Mike Pegram when he joins us a little bit later in the program today. Glad you're with us. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget it, Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Great special going on right now. They have a 50% off of a bone-in ham, which you can take advantage of that, whatever the sticker price is, whatever size you're looking for, 50% off while that deal lasts at Honey Baked Ham located in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Indiana, we know, is going to open the season on Tuesday, November 10th, against New Jersey Institute of Technology. They are a member of the Atlantic Sun Conference. They had a dismal 9-21 record last season and were ranked number 296 in the KenPom ratings that we so often talk about on this program. So that will be the first opportunity to see the Hoosiers. And again, knock on wood that the season starts when we think it's going to, and that none of this gets pushed back a month or who knows how long because of college football and, of course, the coronavirus. But that would be the first regular season game, November 10th for Indiana. Really, the only chance to see them before that would be one or two exhibition games, depending on how Indiana handles that closed scrimmage. They get one of those and one exhibition, or I believe it's two open exhibition games, depending on how they want to utilize those dates. So Indiana to open against NJIT to open the regular season. And just kind of looking down what we know about the schedule, just kind of a brief recap. Obviously, the Gavitt tip-off games, we don't know the opponent and the location yet for Indiana in that. A lot of people think it's going to be a road game. Others think with who Indiana has in the non-conference form to play in that event, it almost has to be a home game. That will not be announced until the spring. But again, you're going to play a top-level Big East opponent in that matchup, that one-game setting. The Maui Jim, Maui Invitational in November, obviously going to be really tough games and a good test for Indiana. I was reading up on that over the weekend. Alabama, Davidson, North Carolina, Providence, Stanford, Texas, and UNLV will join the Hoosiers in that 18 field in Hawaii for the Maui Invitational, which is always, to me, kind of a signal of the start of the holidays right there at Thanksgiving, but also the true start of college basketball when you really get into the heart of the non-conference season and you really get some of that great non-conference basketball. Of course, other things that stand out on the schedule, and I know we've talked about it, but just kind of piecing the schedule together now, game, you know, and we'll start to get more dates coming up as well. But game by game, Big Ten ACC Challenge, I think that's going to be a road game for Indiana. That's always a big matchup against an ACC opponent. You got the Crossroads Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We know that's on Saturday, December 19th. That's always a big event, and it's going to be Butler for the Hoosiers, their matchup this year. And then, of course, Robert Morris coming to Bloomington, Nebraska-Omaha, probably two of the least interesting games that we know so far on the non-conference schedule, along with the New Jersey Institute of Technology, but some really good challenges early on for this Indiana team this year. And again, Indiana's upbeat. I think a lot of people, fans and media, upbeat about the Hoosiers for this upcoming season. One other thing that kind of surprised me, Friday night we got a video interview podcast. I don't know exactly what you want to call it, but it was Don Fisher, the legendary voice of the Hoosiers, and he was interviewing Archie Miller. Came out on Friday night. I think Indiana released it on social media. It was 40, 41 minutes or so. Really good stuff with Archie Miller. Talked about the ending of the season, kind of a closure to the 2019-20 season. Talks about the offseason, what it could look like or couldn't look like, I guess, and also the future. A little bit about Christian Landry. Get some very interesting comments about watching him as a high school player, watching him out at Colorado and the USA development camps that he had that they have there. But I tell you, we're getting spoiled. I've always said we don't get to hear from Archie Miller a lot outside of the season. Of course, in the season, you've got regular press conferences to preview opponents. You've got post-game pressers as well. You know, you see him on TV. You've got the coaches show on the radio. You know, you get a sense for what's going on with him and what kind of mood he's in, and get some insight from him on a weekly basis at least, if not more. In the off season, some coaches have, you know, Facebook shows like Coach Cal. Some have regular press conferences. UofL, Coach Mack, they seem to have very regular updates to the media, more so just to let them know what's going on. And I think to kind of keep interest out there with the fans in a dull time. Archie Miller has had multiple, I think three or four different interviews now that he has done. Some of them have been long form, 30-plus minute, like this one with Don Fisher interviews. And it's been really interesting to kind of learn more about him as a person and what he's been up to during this coronavirus shutdown and slower time for all of us. And I'm sure the reason that we're hearing from Coach Miller more now is because, like all of us, there's more time to do things extra. Not that we're all getting asked to be interviewed all the time like Coach Miller might, but it has really been interesting in this offseason to learn more about Archie Miller, a little bit about who he is. And I don't know about you, but I feel like after some of the recent interviews, and again, I think of four different pretty reasonable in time and length interviews that he's done since the conclusion of the season, whether it's been a video interview or a podcast, an audio interview, but really feel like I know him a little bit better because he is kind of a guy that is normally pretty quiet, maybe a little gruff. You don't always get a lot of opportunities to hear from him, but this offseason, at least so far, has definitely been different. If you haven't had a chance to check out the video with Don Fisher, it's available at iuhoosiers.com. Again, 40 minutes or so with Coach Miller, some really good stuff. The return of college football. Everybody wants to know what it's going to look like, when it's going to happen. Are things going to be on schedule? Is a full schedule of games going to be played? Will fans be allowed in the stands? Will there be social distancing? What exactly is it going to look like? Still don't know, and I don't know that we're really close to knowing many of those answers. But I did want to take a look around the Big Ten Conference. You know, Indiana has said in mid-June that men's basketball, women's basketball, and football players would be able to return to campus to do workouts with, like, strength and conditioning and athletic training-type staff. So far, Illinois has said that starting June 3rd through the 8th, they're going to bring back students and put them through waves of 35 to 45 students on campus at a time from these sports programs. Iowa has said June 8th is the date that men's, women's basketball, and football can return. Ohio State also June 8th. Everyone else does not have a locked-in date just yet. But I do want to note that, from my understanding, the presidents and chancellors of Big Ten schools, they have an annual meeting that is set to come up on June 7th. So perhaps then we get a conference-wide guideline on what can be done based on the NCAA rules and guidelines in this June period, which, again, for basketball, it's important, but for football and getting your body ready, it's really important to getting student-athletes back in there, going through some of the grueling workouts and things that they just have to do if they're going to be ready for for college football later this fall. I want to pass this along as we close out this headline segment. Tyler Odle passed away on Saturday, 25 years old, a 2013 graduate of Charlestown, one of the great football players in the history of Charlestown Pirate football. His name is all over the record book as you go back and look at some of his accomplishments, but he was killed in a wreck as he and his fiance were returning home back into Charlestown. Our thoughts and prayers to the Odle family, obviously his fiance. He was a great football player, enjoyed following him, enjoyed interviewing him multiple times, and just a tragedy to see, especially a young person like him pass away at such a young age. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. We have a lot more coming your way. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next, presented by Coffee Crossing. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com still ahead. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
One of my fondest and coincidentally earliest memories of Lee Kelly was being a high school student in his radio and TV program and telling him that I aspired to be a sports reporter. I wanted to be a sideline reporter, and this was 20 years ago when there were even fewer opportunities, especially for women in sports broadcasting. And instead of telling me how difficult it would be, how competitive the industry is, how much adversity there might be along the way, he said, okay, here's what you got to do. And he gave me every example of people he knew in the business who had done that, accomplished that, worked in similar capacities, and told me all of the resources that I could utilize that were there for me, even in the high school level, to be able to start honing in on those skills that I would need. And he wrote recommendations to get internships to be sure that every step of the way I was supported and encouraged and confident.
This is Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek Boys Basketball talking about my friend Lee Kelly. I would always love talking to Lee because he always made you feel special. Whether it was in person or on the radio, he was the consummate pro. And he was very proud. You could tell he was a very proud person of all the work he had done at New Albany, the students he had, the work that he had put in there. And he was also very proud of his alma mater, the Dragons. I think the thing that will always stand out with me for Lee is how much everyone loved him. His co-workers, all the coaches in the area, his former students, everyone loved Lee. And he is definitely getting a well done from the man upstairs.
And the tributes continue for Lee Kelly, who we lost last week. Welcome back in to this Tuesday edition of the program. In this segment, we always get the opportunity to chat with Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. And Greg, I think we've got some sports items to talk about, but I'm not sure about you, but as I look at some happenings right here locally, like in Jeffersonville on Saturday, and of course across the river in Louisville, even in Indianapolis and so many places across the country, peaceful protest at times that are very, very powerful and very, very meaningful. And then I've just seen some downright scary things, fires and riots and other things that make you just wonder, are we seeing this in cities this close to us? And of course, you're there in Indianapolis. I'm just curious your take on all this and looking at our country right now, fighting a virus, and of course, so much right now going on with some unrest in cities, and very, very troubling time for our country, I guess is a fair way to put it.
Yeah, and this has like a lot of things. There's ends of the spectrum, and there's some gray in the middle, and a lot of people don't really care about much of anything but their end of the spectrum, and they think their end of the spectrum is the middle, and it's not. And I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on, but there's some stuff in the middle here. But there's I'm seeing, as bad as all this stuff is, and it's bad. I mean, the rioting, the burning. Nobody with any name recognition, nobody, athletes, politicians, whoever, nobody is saying that's good. Nobody, black, white, brown, no one's saying this has to happen, we have to riot. No one's saying that. So there's a few bad apples out there, just like in the police force. There's a few bad apples. We've seen them. A few bad apples out there in the riots and causing it to start. And I was actually walking among the protesters in Indianapolis the other night, Saturday night, I wasn't necessarily walking with them, although I guess I probably was. I was more taking notes, and I'm not even working this week. Wasn't working on Saturday, but I was just taking notes and just shooting photos and putting it on Twitter. I say I wasn't walking with them, but I can assure you if that had been a white supremacist march, I would have been anywhere near it. So maybe I was walking with them because I wasn't avoiding them. I wasn't ashamed, in other words, to be walking down the street and have people wonder, is he with them? Yeah, I'm more with them than I'm not for damn sure. And actually, as far as the peaceful protest goes, I'm with them all the way. I just wasn't literally with them as I was walking. But the point of all this is that being that close, being among everybody, you could tell that, I mean, the numbers here are going to be wrong. I'm not going to be right about this, but I would say 1 in 50, and it could be 1 in 20, it could be 1 in 100, I don't know. 1 in 50 is what my guess was. They were there for bad intentions. They were there, you could hear them, you know, F the police, F 12. Apparently 12 is a new cool lingo for police. I always thought it was 5-0, but apparently we've multiplied it by 4 and added 2. But anyway, F, or divided by 4. F 12 is what they're shouting. So you could tell, and I was tweeting, you know, the rioters, the looters out here, they're not going to listen to me. So I'm not going to tell them to calm down. But I'm going to tell you, Indianapolis, if you're outside, get in. It's going to get bad tonight. And, I mean, obviously, we all knew that. But it got bad because all it takes is one guy out of 50 to throw a rock. Or to be fair, all it takes is one cop too soon to hit everybody with pepper gas. And it's on. So whether it's our side, their side, your side, his side, there's a bad apple somewhere. It starts and it's on. But I want to say this. Last night, we saw, not just in Indy, but we saw it in Indy. We saw it all over the country. We saw, I mean, we've never seen this. We saw policemen, not all of them. We saw some, though, deciding, I'm going to walk with you guys. Like, they were out there to confront or just keep the peace, whatever. And the protesters, instead of throwing rocks at them, were talking to them like, hey, join us. You know, this is why we're here. Join us. We saw cops, black and white, join them. We saw cops, black and white, take knees out of solidarity. We saw last night, I mean, it was scary looking. That was I wasn't there. I've seen pictures and videos. Hundreds of people outside Governor Holcomb's mansion, the governor's mansion. Hundreds, maybe more. And there was, I don't know, 30, 40 state police people there, too, to keep the peace. And it looked like us against them. It looked like that scene from Thriller. I know in Thriller there's 50 zombies, and I feel like there's two of them, and they're squaring off, and they probably dance together, I think. It looked like something like that. And then the protesters had kind of an appointed one or two people negotiating for them. State police had one or two person talking for them. And they shook hands and knelt together and walked off. We've never, and this was not just Indianapolis, this happened in a lot of cities. I saw a lot of tweets and pictures of things like this. We've never seen protests dissolve like we saw them last night. And I'm not saying they dissolved everywhere. I'm not saying the gas didn't come out that way after hours, tear gas, whatever. I'm not saying it was perfect. But there was, I mean, we've never seen this kind of progress on a protest/riot night. Never seen it before. So I'm seeing hope.
Yeah, and there were some similar scenes in Louisville yesterday. Very powerful stuff when you see police speaking out and protesting with the peaceful protests. That stuff that does make you feel pretty good. I want to bring this up with you because, you know, when I think about media, and especially in sports and college basketball, long before I ever interviewed you or had you on this show or that you ever worked for the Indianapolis Star, I think a lot of people that really follow college basketball and Final Fours and things like that know who you are because of your work on a national level. But when I think of media, you're one of the guys. You've done this, not just here in Indiana or for the Star, but multiple places at many different levels, many different locales as well. And so I know you have a respect for the media. You've been around lots of different media markets and locations. And I guess one of the things, as I sit in the safety of my home and watch some peaceful, some not peaceful protest or riots, whatever you want to call the stuff that gets a little shaky when maybe there's fires and windows being busted and you're watching it on live television. But how about these media members, these TV reporters and their crews that are going out providing this coverage, allowing people to see exactly what is going on in their downtown or in their city? And reports that they were shot, whether it was accidental because they were around maybe someone rioting, or whether it was maybe the police didn't, I hope, did not know they were media, but they were shot with pellets or tear gas or whatever. I'm just amazed at some of the media coverage I've seen, and I'm speaking specifically out of Louisville when I think about live television and streaming and things like that. I know it's been very similar in Indianapolis as well, but hats off to some of these journalists and photographers and media members and reporters that are really putting it all on the line to go out and provide this just unbelievable, almost live coverage.
Yeah, we're not out there. Whatever our politics may be, and everybody knows, and it's not a secret, that media tend to lean left. Not everybody. There's a lot of right-wing them too, but media tends to lean left. So media tends to be more supportive of what's going on in the country if you had to ask us in our private time. But we're not out there because we're supporting them. Like, I wasn't out there Saturday night walking with them because I want to be with – I'm part of this. I'm part of it. I mean, as I said, had they been Nazis, I would not have been anywhere near them. But I was okay being mistaken for being part of it, but I wanted to chronicle it for people on Twitter. So we're out, and I wasn't in danger, but people are media going out there. They're not out there to march. They're out there only because they're getting paid to be there, or in some cases not. A lot of people at the Star, including me this weekend, are on furlough, unpaid furlough. You know, it's a struggle everywhere. Advertising is way down. There's nothing to advertise. There's nobody shopping. So we're taking basically a 25% pay cut for months. So it hurts. It sucks. But I had a lot of Star people out there, photographers especially, not even getting paid. They're literally been told, you can't work this week, no money for you. They're out there anyway, doing it just because that's what we do. We show people what's going on, and it takes bravery at any time, because you can always get hit on accident by a bystander, by a protester, by a cop, by a tear gas pellet. You can always get hit by accident. But we're in a day and age where, let's just say what it is. We've got a president who says the media is the enemy. I mean, the immediate fake news. They're trying to bring down the whole country. But we've never had that before. We've never worked in these conditions where a decent portion of the population, which takes their cues from whoever's in the White House, turns out to be President Trump, they're hearing that we're the bad guy. And so, and some of the police, you know, some of the bad apples, the right-leaning, the really far-right, just crazy supremacist-leaning cops, they take their cue from that too. And a lot of media have been hit this week by tear gas, and not unintentionally. Vic Rickard of the Star got tear gassed two or three times. And he's just this harmless-looking 50-plus-year-old guy. I mean, just nice as he can be, and he's just getting pummeled out there. It's not okay. What's happening around the country is not okay. And for people that say, and there are people, and believe me, up to a point, I get it. It's not cool. The Indy Star had our windows were broken. I mean, this is not good. It's not good to throw anything through a window. It's not good to light a fire. The guns are going off. People have died by bullets, by whether intentionally got shot into them or bystanders. I'm not really sure, but an IU guy named Beatty, former IU football player named Beatty, was killed Saturday night, and I'm not sure of the circumstances, but it was in the middle of all that stuff. None of that is good. All of that's awful. Let's see. Where was I? So we got people saying, you know, why is everybody protesting? Why are they marching? Why are they shouting? Why can't they do something more peaceful, more constructive? Okay, you mean like Colin Kaepernick taking a knee? You mean like that kind of peacefulness? Because we see how that worked out, didn't we? Colin Kaepernick's been blackballed. The country noticed that. The people that don't like what's happening with the police brutality and all that, the racial divide, they saw that. They saw Kaepernick get blackballed, and they saw that no owner wants to even bring him in because you can't sell tickets if you have Colin Kaepernick on your roster. That's the kind of reaction that subtle, very peaceful protests get. So I don't want to hear anybody saying, well, they shouldn't be marching. They should be doing something else, like what Colin did. How'd that turn out? And again, I'm not saying, therefore, it's okay. Colin didn't get heard, so let's go out and burn buildings down. That'll get heard. I'm not saying that's okay, but that's the mentality. That's the rioters are saying, you're not listening to us any other way. Hear this, and it's time we listen, for God's sake.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, some good stuff here as we obviously start off talking things that do not involve sports, but very important, very concerning in our country right now. I do have one more quick thing, and I don't know what you know about this, or so don't let me put you on the spot, but I think you retweeted it, so I believe you've read it. But did I see maybe yesterday that the mayor of Carmel, there on the north side of metro Indianapolis, was thinking about suing the city of Minneapolis for what I think he said was being negligent in handling the George Floyd situation, which caused protests and riots, and I'm assuming city resources and finances to help stop protests and things maybe that got out of hand at times there?
Well, first of all, nothing got out of hand in Carmel. That's among the many, many things wrong with that move by Carmel. And yes, you're correct. The Carmel mayor announced, like he was proud of it, that we will be filing a lawsuit against Minneapolis to reimburse us for the time and energy spent on preparing people for riots or whatever. In Carmel, not in downtown Indy where buildings are burning, but in Carmel, which is the richest suburb almost in the whole state, nothing's happening there. That's remarkable that he would do that. What's also remarkable, actually not remarkable at all, discouraging. And again, what I said earlier about a lot of people take their cues from whoever their leader is. Whoever your president is, left side, right side, if he says it, by golly, you're going to believe it. Nobody thinks. This guy, Jim Brainerd, made that announcement. I then tweeted out, because his name is Brainerd, spelled Brain, A-R-D. I tweeted out and said, we got to start calling this mayor Jim Ard, because there's no brain in there. And immediately got attacked by people saying, oh, I think what he's doing makes sense. I think, why shouldn't they reimburse us? Why? Do you want, there's like 500 towns the size of Carmel. Should all 500 sue Minneapolis? Are they not going through enough? First of all. Second of all, again, people think, just for the love of God, think for one second. If you're going to blame the protests and blame the need to raise money in Carmel, of all places, on the protests in Minneapolis, you're going to blame the police in Minneapolis. What you're saying is, it's not the protesters' fault. They had no choice but to protest because the balls were set in motion, the wheels were set in motion in Minneapolis. You can't expect these protesters to not protest. Therefore, Minneapolis police, it's your fault for kneeling on George Floyd and killing him, because of course the protests were going to happen. They had to happen. They should have happened. That's what your lawsuit is technically saying. And I tweeted that out, and then about 15 minutes later, Brainerd changed his mind and said, we're not going to sue after all. Or at least we're going to table it. We're going to put it on hold for now. No, it's gone. It's gone, just like that stupid NFL rule about we're going to pat owners in the head for hiring a black coach by getting a better draft pick. Some ideas are so stupid they shouldn't be spoken out loud. But that idea in Carmel was spoken out loud, and people actually defended it because they didn't think about it. They just thought, wait a minute, I live in Carmel, or Brainerd's Republican, I'm Republican, therefore whatever he said is correct. There is no planet where the richest, whitest suburb in Indiana suing Minneapolis for anything makes sense on any level, anywhere. And yet you had that idiot doing it, and you had people defending that idiot. Because I guess thinking's just too damn hard, Matt.
Good stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to get to sports for a moment before we close the segment. I know that sports have slowed down, but you still have been busy. Plenty of great columns, plenty of work to do. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to take advantage of some of the Archie Miller availabilities, but we don't hear from him a lot in the off season. That's something that you and I have spoke about, but I'm sure because of the downtime that coaches have had, no recruiting, no real activities or involvement other than digital stuff or virtual stuff with their team, I can count up at least four somewhat long-form interviews, 30, 40 minutes or even more, that Archie Miller has done with different media, whether it be someone local or whether it be a national college basketball person. But I don't know how much of that you've heard or paid attention to with everything else going on or not going on in some cases. But I really feel like I've had a chance this offseason by paying attention to those and listening to those to kind of get to know Archie better than just the quick pressers during the week of the season or after the games when he's won and is happy or has gotten defeated and is teed off. But it's been kind of an interesting time to learn more about Archie. Have you followed any of that?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And the off season, coaches are who they are at all times, but they really are who they are in the season. They are wound so tight, most of them, and Archie's one of them. They're wound so tight that you really don't see much of who they are. The one time he really let his hair down, almost all season. And he was honest all season. He would get angry about this, that, the other. But the one time that I saw him let his hair down and we really kind of just looked inside and saw who he was when Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash. And Archie was talking about, growing up and his dad coached Kobe in the McDonald's All-American game and Archie was there, working out with the guys and all that. So there are times where you see glimpses. But, yeah, the offseason is when they're not so high-strung. This is a time where, and it's very smart, people IU's doing it, the Colts are doing it, the Pacers are doing it. There's no sports out there to write about or talk about, really. So they're making people available. Tom Allen has been available on a Zoom conference call with the media almost every week for a month or more. He doesn't talk to us this much in the off season, but there's nothing else going on. It is recruiting. You're getting your message out there. You're very relaxed. We like you very much on Zoom, whoever you are. And so it makes all the sense in the world. See, I'm following all these stuff as much as I can, but it's hard. The riots and whatnot this weekend are so crazy that I don't even know what's going on with the coronavirus right now. I really don't know. Are we making progress? And I think we are. But jump to page two. It's amazing. It took something that big to jump the riots out. And I know we got to go, but I want to say one thing, because I know people hear me and they hear me get passionate and they hear me express anger and dismay, and I don't take back any of it. I don't apologize for any of it. But I do want to make this very, very clear. This happened actually Saturday. I drove around downtown Indianapolis Saturday morning. I was not getting paid. I'm on furlough, but I wanted to see it, and I wanted to write about it, so I did. And I saw the destruction Saturday morning. I drove home to write, and I pull up to a stoplight, and there's a police car next to me. And a white officer, if it matters, it probably doesn't, but a white officer. And I roll my window down, and he looks over. He sees the movement. He looks over at me, and I kind of twirl my finger in a circle, like, would you roll it down? And he rolls it down, and I said, hey, I know it's tough out here. Thanks for what you do. And he smiled and said, right on, and then drove off. So I want people to understand that you can think what I think about the world in general and still say cops are heroes. There are some bad ones. They're not heroes. But the typical cop, you're a hero in my book, the typical cop. So I want to make that very clear, because people, they'll assume what they want to assume, because it makes it easier to listen to my anger if you dismiss me as, oh, he just hates blah, blah, blah. No, I don't hate cops. I don't hate white people. I'm just mad at what's going on in this country. And if you need to paint me into some bizarre corner to make yourself live with what I said better, paint me there. Do some Rembrandt. But there's some gray here. Embrace it.
Good stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, stay safe, and thanks for all that you do, and thanks for being with us on Tuesdays.
Thanks for giving me the forum, Matt. Thank you. And Coffee Crossing, love you, baby. Bye.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us each Tuesday. And again, I think that was a good conversation with sports on shutdown, basically. A lot going on in our country right now. Just hard to believe all the problems and issues and things that we're facing as a country as we move forward. All right, we'll head to a commercial break, come back, and we'll dive into some more IU stuff today. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com in the next segment. A little recruiting. We'll get into some basketball stuff and possibly some football stuff as well. I want to talk about that with Mike in the next segment also. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
This is Joe Glover, Director of Athletics at IU Southeast and a New Albany High School alum who was a student sports broadcaster on WNAS. Mr. Kelly was more than just a teacher of radio and television. He was a teacher of life, and he went out of his way every day to make sure that you knew that he cared about you and your success. Some of my favorite memories were broadcasting Bulldog basketball and football games with him on Friday and Saturday nights during my time at New Albany. I learned so much from him, and he truly was the best mentor I've ever had. We remained close all these years later, and I still got to enjoy an occasional radio appearance with him right here on WXVW. I'll cherish those memories forever. He may be gone, but his legendary voice remains ever strong and as articulate as ever in our memories. His legacy will continue to live in his former students and the generations of sports broadcasters he trained. Rest in peace, my friend. We love you, and we will miss you.
Hi, this is Zach McCrite, and I want to add my condolences to the Kelly family on the passing of Lee. It's still weird to call him Lee. He just commanded so much respect, even though he was softer spoken. And I just was so jealous of not being a New Albany Bulldog for my high school career for one reason, and that was because I didn't get to work under Mr. Kelly in the WNAS radio TV department. He made that a larger in life thing for somebody who wanted to be in media like myself. But I'm so glad that we got to call games together, including the Romeo Run. And I know it was important to him, the Silver Creek High School basketball state championship run last year. And he was my first Little League coach. So we go back a long way, and I'm going to miss him dearly. Rest in peace, Mr. Kelly. Condolences to the Kelly family. And what gives me solace is he gets to see his son again.
And another tribute for Lee Kelly as we're back on this Tuesday edition of the program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he is with us to talk IU basketball and more in this segment. And actually, Mike, I want to start with some IU football. I saw kind of a summary article on the Pegs.com site over the weekend that lists the different return dates as it stands now. And most Big Ten schools are still to be determined as far as exactly when players, what specific date they are going to allow men's basketball, women's basketball, football athletes to return to campus for some form of off-season workouts this summer. But I understand there's a meeting of Big Ten presidents and chancellors coming up here in a few days. Do you feel like there's more guidance ahead from the conference level on June and summer workouts coming our way soon?
Yeah, I think there's a expectation that, you know, the athletes can come back here in a couple weeks or so. And that's big news. I mean, it's been really rough for them to, you know, it's not only that they can't use their college facilities, they can't use their local facilities where they're back home. So, you know, that's the first baby step to getting sports back is having facilities available for the athletes, and it's, you know, obviously huge for football. And the basketball team is expecting us to be back in a couple weeks as well.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. A little on IU football. We're kind of to that point where we are to the point where the coronavirus and the pandemic are taking the full headlines, it seems, right now about the college football season. Will it be played? How will it be played? What will fans look like? So many questions surrounding college football as a whole right now. But I have seen some early thoughts on the Big Ten Conference and on Indiana and really on college football and picks across the board as a whole. As we kind of gear up for things and sure hope that college football comes back in some form or fashion and know more about the Big Ten teams and the different scenarios across the conference, what are your thoughts right now on Indiana as far as the conference goes, where they stack up in a very big Big Ten division, of course, that they're in?
Well, they had a bulk of their team coming back, you know, from an eight victory season where they nearly won the Gator Bowl over Tennessee. You know, had a, you know, significant lead in the second half, and they get their quarterback back, Michael Penix. And so there's a lot of expectations is that this team could be better. Now the schedule is a little bit more difficult this year, opening up at Wisconsin, which is a really difficult place to play. I mean, the games that they're going over to the other side of the Big Ten in the West Division is more difficult this year, but they have the personnel, the talent to be even better this year, and should be a fun team to watch.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike, always with us Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball, football, and more. Sad deal with the football player Beatty with being killed in downtown Indianapolis. I still haven't seen much more of the details of that shooting that obviously took his life, but I remember him distantly as an IU football player. Obviously, he had a tremendous prep career at Indianapolis Cathedral as well. I think I read he was part of three state championship teams, which is amazing. Can you give us a little history on his time at Indiana and who he was as a person?
Well, he's a guy that's been really involved since football, and a lot of people have shown their love for what he's done in the Indianapolis area. And, you know, like you said, he had a really good high school career, and it was part of the early 2000s team. And a lot of the players back then became friends with him, and even some of the basketball players have been tweeting out. I think Gary Gordon really liked him and had a nice tweet about him yesterday. So just a really tough loss. And like you, I don't even know exactly what happened yet.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is our guest. Let's get into some basketball stuff. I tell you, from a recruiting perspective, we always talk about Trey Kaufman because he's right here in our backyard, and obviously he's a huge target right now of Indiana in the 2021 class. But Blake Wesley, you guys had a feature story on him. I think a couple pieces about Blake Wesley recently. He's out of South Bend. Sure seems from a distance, and that's where I'm at with things, obviously, just reading different reports and seeing what kids say in interviews, but sure seems that Indiana is picking up some steam, maybe both ways, with Indiana's interest and Blake Wesley's return interest in IU right now.
Yeah. You know, when I talked to him in the middle of the high school season, I just didn't know if Indiana was at the same spot that Purdue and Notre Dame were, and today I think they could be. You know, obviously those schools are a little closer to home, but they've done a really outstanding job in expressing their interest, and I think he's someone who probably will stay, not to, you know, go to college pretty close to home, and he's, you know, up at the same South Bend Riley High School area, so they have a real good chance, and he's, I think, a guy with upside is higher than his ranking suggests. He's got a great length, great athleticism, a really nice handle, and then just has to become a bigger, stronger athlete, and he has to improve his shot, but he could be an NBA player, you know, down the road if he really works at it.
Mike, Archie Miller has done a number of interview opportunities since the pandemic hit. One was a podcast, which was exclusive to the Pigs.com website. And I mentioned this with Greg Doyle in the last segment. I really feel like I've gotten to know more about Archie as a person, kind of away from the IU team, more about basketball in general and who he is as a person, which this time has allowed all of us, I think, to do some things that we typically don't do in interviews, especially out of the season, is something that Archie Miller just typically does not do. As you've heard from him, and I'll tell you what, the one with Don Fisher really stands out. He was very and I mean, he's always complimentary of players and things like that once he can speak on a player, once they're officially signed. But he was very very bold. Maybe bold's not the right word, but very bragging much on Christian Lander and what he saw of him during the recruiting process. He even specifically mentioned some time out at the USA basketball facility in Colorado where he knew that that's a guy he really wanted. He's like a lot of media and national folks out there. He's clearly very high on Christian Lander as a freshman, a young freshman coming into this program.
Yeah, actually, if I were to pull one thing out of that Friday night interview that really what I thought was most interesting was his comments about Christian's play in against other really good talent at that USA camp or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it was, but when you go out to these Team USA things, you're competing against fellow five-stars and four-stars and a really high level, and you just don't get the same feel of a player that maybe you, if you go to an Evansville Wrights game or even Adidas circuit game that he had last year. This what Archie saw at that level, and for him to speak that highly of him, I think is an excellent sign about how good he thinks Christian can be and the kind of impact he might have. I just try to tell people, remember, he's going to be younger than a typical freshman this year, so physically there's a little bit of an adjustment period or that he'll have even greater than a typical freshman. So, but the talent is undeniable.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Don't forget, for more on all the topics and a lot more that we've talked about here on this segment, head to the Pigs.com website for lots of great stuff. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. Look forward to it each week. Lots of IU stuff, and we'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Take care. Mike Pegram with us as we wrap up this Tuesday program. Thanks so much for being with us today. Glad to be back with you after the weekend and out on Monday, but I'll be with you the rest of the week each day at 11 o'clock. We talk IU basketball, IU sports, and of course we talk sports from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. We'll do it each day this week. Wednesday, tomorrow, we'll have Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic on IU and college hoops. We'll have Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, on local sports, and a lot more coming your way tomorrow and this week. And don't forget, if you missed the show live at 11 here on the Big X, you could always find us as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcast and also SoundCloud as well, so easy ways for you to listen to the show at your convenience. Have a great day. Stay safe. Back with you Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
I'm Bud Shipley with WXKU Radio in Seymour. I first met Lee Kelly in 1968 when we worked together at WJCD in Seymour. We were just two young guys just getting our feet wet in the radio business and kind of learning on the fly. We spent hours challenging each other with sports trivia, and Lee would dig deep into that memory bag for questions about the Big Train, Walter Johnson, Pee Wee Reese, and others. He never lost that love for sports and was always willing to share his expertise with the rest of us. For 52 years, we had a friendship that I will always cherish. He was engaging, he was courteous, and he had a sense of humor that made him a joy to be around. And he was a friend that was always there to help you at a moment's notice. For those of us that were fortunate enough to have known Lee Kelly as a dear friend, our lives have been blessed by a man we won't forget.